Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Y'all may be seated. Thank you so much for being here today. And I know that you're some of you are getting to start the enjoyment of spring break. And some of you, like the rest of us, we are lamenting the fact that we don't get spring breaks anymore. And that's just part of life. But what we do get to enjoy is the new spring of God's goodness and His forgiveness and His joy each and every day. And so as we are here or joining us online, I pray that that Holy Spirit, that fulfillment of His newness would be felt by you and enjoyed by you today. Welcome. If you're a guest with us today, thanks for being here. I'm Matt. I'm one of the pastors. And we're just make yourself at home and enjoy the morning as we just experience what God has in store for us. I have just one big announcement. Just in a couple of weeks, there's this Sunday that we really get to enjoy, and some of you may not even realize it's coming, but it's called Easter. Hallelujah. And a huge part of the church on that Sunday. So here's what I'd like for you to do. If you have Facebook, or if you have Twitter, or if you have Instagram, or any other social media that we are on, if you would, for the next 3 weeks, go to those pages and start liking and sharing all of our events. Here's what we find out, is the things that we mail, the advertisements that we do, all of those things, they don't really work. What works is you inviting and sharing. And you can do that through social media. We're going to give you cards and handouts to give to people to leave on tables when you go out to eat, all sorts of things. It really, you sharing is the way people come to Christ. I know it's hard to believe, but it's not me. Oh, come on, that's funny. It's hard to believe. It's not the worship team. It really is you, and 100% you. And so let's invite the community to what we know is the greatest gift that the world has ever known, and that's Jesus Christ. Lord, as we are here this morning, I pray that we would just be filled with your goodness and your glory. Lord, as we are here this morning, I know that you are going to fulfill that promise in each and every one of us. The question is, are we going to realize it? Lord, I pray that you would open ourselves up to your realization of who we are in you. And Lord, as we worship you, as we hear from you, Lord, let that begin to change us, transform us, and let us begin to live it out in our lives more and more each day. Because our friends, the people that we see every day, our family, the ones that we talk to every day, our neighbors, those that are in our community, our co-workers, Lord, they need to hear from you. And the only way they're going to hear from you is through us. So, Lord, give us that boldness. Give us that passion. Give us that all that we need to share your love in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'll just bow your heads and let's just spend a minute with the Lord in prayer and, Lord, just in thanksgiving to you today. Some of us probably came today with some very real expectations and needs, and so the Lord is here to provide for those, at least to begin giving a direction. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the ultimate provider of our lives and all that go on. And I'm just always just so aware of those provisions in the life of my family, and then as I look into the lives of other families and just see where He is working and moving. Jehovah Rapha, He's the healer, not just of physical, but of all the places in our lives that need healing. just sang about struggling with just the anxiety and the chaos, and that the name of Jesus is the name above all names, that is the one that brings that into our lives. That Hebrew word shalom is that peace. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is the God of peace. Lord, you're also the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. Lord, as we come to worship you today, I pray that we would know that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are beautiful children. We are your creation. No matter what the world says about us or what we think about ourselves, we are yours and you are ours. And in that, Lord, I just pray that our lives would change and be transformed, that peace that really surpasses all that knowledge and understanding, Lord, when we think we know because of what our brains have told us, what the world has told us, what our educations have told us, what our training has told us, Lord, that you would just, Lord, you would infiltrate all those places and spaces in our lives, Lord, and you would shape and mold our thought processes, Lord, as your holy word says, that we would take every thought captive, Lord, and we would bend it to your will in the name of Jesus Christ. And so we would see how you see us. We would think about ourselves as you think about us, because when we start doing that, Lord, our witness changes, our lives change. And so, Lord, we can help others be transformed also. Lord, this is not just about us. Lord, it is about those around us. And so, Lord, I need your help knowing who I am so I can help everyone in this room and online and in my life know who they are. Lord, I need you, Lord. I need that peace. I need that calm. I need that joy. And, Lord, that becomes our strength to get through each and every day. So, Lord, I'm thankful. I'm so thankful that we gathered here in your holy name. Lord, I'm thankful that you meet us right where we are. We're all in different places. Lord, let us not ever compare, because the comparison is the thief of the joy that you give us. Lord, you be the one. You be the one, Lord, that speaks into our lives today through the songs, through the words, through the prayers. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. All in the name of Christ. And all the people, for you, everyone that agrees with, that desires that prayer to come true in their life, you just say amen. Amen. Let's have yourself a seat. You have a chance to give today, and just want to pray for your finances. Believe that those are always just as important as anything else in our lives. Sometimes we just kind of gloss over that, and I don't want to do that. And so, Lord, for the money in our pockets, Lord, in our bank accounts, Lord, and the money that is not there, Lord, we just talked about provision, and Lord, every one of us, sometimes we are in greater need than we even know. And so, Lord, you provide. Even if our bank accounts are full, Lord, let us give thanks and praise to you for the resources that we have. And then, Lord, let us ask you, Lord, let's just don't give blindly. Lord, let's just don't give out of obligation. Lord, let's ask what you need from us, what you desire from us. And Lord, let us joyfully answer that call in our lives, even when it means sacrificial. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In the name of Christ, amen. Amen.
Good morning. All right, kiddos, we are going to go to Grace Kids. If you are wavering about whether you want to join us or not, it's a very yummy lesson today, very sweet treat, so y'all should all come on. Also, shout out to all the parents who got here on time change and spring break morning and got your kids here. My kids aren't even here, so good job, y'all.
One thing I forgot to mention, on March the 19th coming up is a night of worship, and there should be that information up behind me, and encourage you to come for that. It's 6 o'clock next Sunday night, and it will last as long as it lasts. I said last week, and I so mean this, some of us have a hard time with this, showing up to things and then walking out when we need to walk out because we have other obligations. We have kids that need to go to school the next day. We have jobs that we need to go to. But I really mean it. If you would be so gracious and bold for the Lord to come to that and just to have a time of worship with Him. There's no agenda. We do that for the Lord Himself. And when we do that, I do believe He always shows up in such a way that's different. But you can walk out 7 o'clock or 6:30 or whatever it is. You can come late if you have other things going on that day. And it's kind of like, how many of you were taught growing up that, boy, when you start praying, especially in church, no one should ever move, don't take a drink, don't get up and go to the restroom, don't anything, right? So many of us were taught that. And now I agree, there are times and places for all those things. If you waited till I start praying to go to the restroom, well, maybe I need to reevaluate my prayers. But I think that it's okay for us to come and go when it comes to these things. And so I just really encourage you to be a part of that. And if you want to stay for the whole thing, that's great. Let me just tell you, we don't know how long it lasts. It only lasted a mere 5 hours last time we were here. Yeah, I didn't even stay the whole 5 hours. I mean, this thing needs beauty rest. Amen? It just does. And so, yes, I went home before it was over as well. But just come, okay, and be a part. I do think that the Lord will bless you, and you'll be in a new place with Him if you do that. So that's next week. For today, though, in thinking about who you are in Christ, I want to pick back up where we left off last week. We didn't need that anyway, is to talk about Jesus in the wild. And look, you can get the sermon notes for today by texting that phone number, 806-217-9727. Just put the word notes in there. You'll get a response, and you can click into those. Be great for you to have during the week. Because what we're going to talk about today is probably the most unique and the most unusual story in the Gospels in relation to how Christ lived out His life as God here among us, when you see how it played out, okay? And so when I say it's the most unusual is because you have this calling of Christ about who He is and His announcement to the world. You can scan that QR code also. This about who He is to the world, about being the Messiah. And then right after that, or shortly after that, you also have where He walks into the church, the synagogue, and where He talks about this right here. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And then He says, today, this scripture, that's a prophecy. And He says, today, the scripture has been fulfilled within your hearing. So He's really saying who He is as God. So you have this baptism, and then you have another event, and then you have this proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. What happened in between is kind of the bizarre thing. Because this doesn't seem to fit. And what that is Him being in the wilderness. You have this baptism, you have the voice of God proclaiming Him as His Son, and then all of a sudden, it's like, hey, this is good. This is wonderful. I mean, here He is, the Messiah, and then there's this trial that starts, and it's about Him going into the wilderness. And I think it happens to us as well, though, in that same pattern, is you come to Christ when Jesus was revealed as the Son of God, the heavens opened up and all the universe was shook. When you came to Christ, whether you believe it or not, I believe this with my whole heart, when you came to Christ, no matter how young or how old you were, no matter what the situation was, no matter if you were at camp or you were in your car at a stoplight, I think that the whole universe and heaven shook because you proclaimed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We sing a fantastic song that talks about another one, right? Another one was lost to hell and was gained in heaven. And when that happens, there's a radical shift in the universe. Not in a not in a weird philosophical way, not in a physiological way, not in a way that we can define as anything natural or in physics, but supernaturally. And then, though, when you go to heaven one day, I think the same is true as when Jesus proclaimed that the scripture is fulfilled within the hearing of those people that heard it. I think the same happens for you, is that this great fulfillment happens in heaven and in your life, that God completed his work. And I once again, I think that there's a shaking. There's a shaking that everything that scripture says is perishable in our lives becomes imperishable in heaven for all of eternity. But what happens in between? For Jesus, there was a great trial. And for us, as we live out our lives, I think there are trials. There are ways that we set the example of who Christ is in our life for others to see. Because when people saw Jesus and what he went through, there was this testing and these temptations, and they saw how he weathered those, which caused them in some ways to want to follow him. For us, when we have trials and we have testings in our own lives and people see how we weather those, they're either going to know who Jesus is or they're not. They're either going to know that we are who we say we are in Christ, or they're going to question whether we're true blue or not. And that's where I want to land today, is the very fact in this passage of Scripture of who Christ is. And so I want to read this to you. Losers. Okay, yeah, here we are. I thought we had the wrong one. Now, this is out of Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. This is him going into the desert. This is being him being tested, okay? It says, "Now Jesus, full of the Spirit, returned from the Jordan, and he was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone.' And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, 'I will give you all of this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I will give it to whomever I want. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall all be yours.' Jesus replied to him, 'It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only.' And he brought him into Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will give his angels orders concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will lift you up so that you do not strike your foot against the stone.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'It has been stated, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Now, think about that. And then after all that was done, after all that has been said, and after all that has been worked out, Jesus once again is reminded, and we are once again reminded of what? "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." See, the way Jesus worked all of that out, the way Jesus worked that out in his life and in our lives, is really three simple things that Jesus worked out for himself in that 40 days. The first thing it is, and this is where I want you to begin, is about who you are, right? Who we are matters, and how we communicate that to ourselves matters. Not what the world says, not what your friends say, not what your family say. That's why I prayed that prayer, is that we have to know who we are in order for us to live out in the world who God says we are. Because if not, we are going to be shaped and molded in the way the world wants us to be. I know that we talk about we're square objects trying to fit into round pegs, but it really is true. And the world will shove and push and make you bloody and miserable and feel like you're unworthy and feel like you're different and feel like you're whatever, a loser, right? Trying to push you in to a place you don't belong. Trying to take that which God created and fit you into the shape of something else that you were never created to be. And we do that all day long, all the time. And God says, no, I don't want you to do that, because the core identity of who Jesus was got him through those trials. Because he kept saying to the devil, this is not who I am. This is not who I am. This is not who I am. And he could have even said to the devil, and you're not even who you think you are. You think that you have the dominions of all the world to give to me, and you don't. You have fooled yourself. I fool myself, thinking I'm someone that I'm not, and I try to be someone that I'm not, and therefore, I don't fulfill the role that God has given me. For us, who we are is truly important. Our core identity is being a child of God, being one that's beautifully and created in His image. His image, not the image of the world, not the image of someone that I think I want to be, but in His image, and that's so important, full of the Holy Spirit that God gave us. You are full of the image of God. You are created in the way that He wanted you to be exactly. No matter if you don't like your hairline, right? No matter if you don't like the shape of your body. No matter if you don't like the career that you have right now. No matter if you don't like the education or lack of education that you have. No matter if you think life has been unfair, because it probably has. No matter. You're still a child of God, and He still wants you to be who He's called you to be. Because notice that the devil was trying to unseat Jesus from His position. He never succeeded. He didn't unseat Him, but his goal the whole time was to try to unseat Him. And guess what he's trying to do to you today? He's trying to unseat you from your position of being a child of God. Now then, let me say this. He can't do it, but he can certainly make you try to think that he can. He can't take you away from God, but he can certainly try to make you give up your position. He can certainly try to make you do things. He can tempt you. The devil has no power. I don't know who came up with the notion that the devil has the power to make us do anything, because he's absolutely powerless. All he can do is make a lot of noise. All he can do is talk in your ear. All he can do is try to influence you, but he can't make you do anything. That whole silly statement, the devil made me do it, is just a lie. Absolute lie. The devil didn't make you do anything. We make our own choices. He just gives us the temptations, just like he did Jesus. And Jesus rebuffed those every time with the fact that he was God and the fact that he was the one that was not tempted. And then, not just who we are, but here's probably the one that's more important to me, is whose we are. Now, every time I say that, all I do is think about church camp. Because I'm one of the leaders at our 4th, 5th, and 6th grade elementary camps at Cedar Canyon, and the name of our camp is Whose We Are. But we're a lot more relevant than this is right here. We spell it a lot better. We spell it W-H-O-Z-E, we, and then we just put the R on the end of it. That's a lot cooler, right? We could have sold a lot more Bibles if we would have done it that way. But that's neither here nor there. But it really is. It so matters whose we are that we devote a whole week to 4th, 5th, and 6th graders trying to get them to understand that they don't belong to the world, that they belong to God. That whose we are matters more than anything. This is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. My beloved son, in that baptism, when Jesus came up out of the water, when he made the choice to be baptized, and when he came up out of that water, he heard the call on his life, and he heard that idea of that love that God had for him that would propel him throughout the rest of his earthly life. The love that God had for them because of why? Because of whose he was. because of whose you are, that love should propel you throughout your whole life. And it's a love that we don't really understand, we don't really grasp, because it really is about the presence of God inside of us. You don't understand, I don't understand how much God actually loves us. It's a strange word that Scripture used, and it's called beloved. It's called belovedness. As a matter of fact, it really irritated me the whole time I was writing and have been writing for 20 years using that word, because it's out of the Scripture. Microsoft Word says it's unknown and it's misspelled. Do you know why it's unknown and Microsoft thinks it's misspelled? Because Microsoft doesn't understand the love of God. Microsoft, teachers, business people, neighbors, your friends, some of your family, the corporate world, our universities, our schools, they don't understand the belovedness of God. And it's up to us to try to understand it for ourselves so we can communicate it back to them. One of the key roles of the Holy Spirit is really to communicate how precious you are to God. To communicate the belovedness of God. Knowing that if everyone else abandoned you, if you lost your job, if you were flat broke and busted, if your education no longer mattered, if your skills no longer mattered, if your career no longer mattered, if you were divorced and your kids said they didn't want to see you anymore, or if your parents said they were disowning you, or just whatever the most extreme, most crisis-ridden situation is that you can think of in your own life, guess what? You still matter because of who you are and whose you are. You're still beloved because of God. Every day, I want to quote this. Every day we hear, and I just forgot the name of the guy who quoted it. I'll think of it in just a minute. Every day we hear some version of the world dancing in our own heads, putting a question mark between us and our blessing as the beloved of God. Often to get us inwardly deciding once again if God is good or not, if we are precious or not, if we matter or not, and if ever we will find joy in this life or not. Dan Wilt, that's his name. See, those are the things that cause us to question who we are and whose we are. Those are the things that literally, I mean absolutely literally, start making us ask questions if this is real or not. If this is truth, if this can actually work out and fill out in our lives, that's exactly what those questions do to us. And that's the world over and over and over and over again. So for you, how are you answering those questions? Are you asking? I would be cautious, but I would be really curious. I've never done this. Maybe just Google "Who am I" and see what it says. It's probably not going to be good. It's probably going to give you all sorts of philosophical and Middle Eastern or Far Eastern logic, or I don't know what it might give you, but I promise you it's not going to give you the truth of who God says you are. Think about this just for a minute. I usually, this just came to me, this is not usually part of my everyday conversations, it's usually what I talk about at funerals, is if we're really created in the image of God, and I know some of you have heard this before, but I mean it so sincerely, if we're truly created in the image of God, what that means is that we're spiritual beings having a human experience. Think about that. Boy, that'll take a while for that to sink in. And just like Jesus, he was that great spiritual being of all of the universe, the creator of the heavens and the earth and the creator of us and the lover of our souls. He was that, and then he came and had a human experience. But he was still God, right? And so we think of ourselves as human beings all the time, and we are to some extent. But really, we're just spiritual beings having a human experience, and something has to happen to that spiritual being when these human experiences stop. And so that's the question, what is going to happen? That's the question right now, what is happening? in that spiritual being that's going on inside of you, having this human experience in the world. I don't just want to talk about eternity, even though that is super important. Amen. I don't want you to live a Christless eternity in hell and torment when your spiritual being goes to either heaven or to hell. I want you to have that eternal experience with God, but it's this right now, this satisfaction of our souls about whose we are matters in the spiritual sense today, because it will affect your physical experience. Listen to this. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of His possession, that you may proclaim the praises of one who has called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. I'm just going to run through these so fast. Our identity tells us where we belong. Our identity tells us that we are wanted. Our identity puts a weapon in our hand, the weapon of the truth. Our identity gives us confidence in our actions because you've been made new by Jesus. Our identity makes us long for home. Our citizenship is not here, it's in heaven. We're all looking for something. We're all trying to fill gaps. Either, I'm just going to use me as an example. I'm trying to fill the gap of my future, right? Y'all hear me talk about retirement, and you hear me talk about finances, and you hear me talk about health. All that's about my future. But I'm also worried about today because I want to be the best that I can be. I want to be physically fit, and I want to look better than I do, and I want to be able to mountain bike in the best places in the world, and I want my family to be loved more than I can love them, and all the things. But listen to what C.S. Lewis says. If we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, I know that I can go to the Bosley Institute and go through a painful procedure and get more hair on my head, right? And I can get a $50 gift certificate apparently online if I do that. I can go to some of the best theological training in the world, but yet I'm still never going to be as good as God's called me to be. That's just something that's never going to happen this side of heaven. I'm never going to be the husband that's going to be perfect. I'm never going to be the perfect dad. I'm never going to be the perfect pastor. Nothing's ever going to be as good as I want it to be. But, so if I'm looking for something that the world can never satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. Think about that. If I'm searching for something in this world that the world can never provide, then maybe I was never made for this world in the end. C.S. Lewis said that. Our identity reveals to us a deeper purpose, which is why we are. Who we are, whose we are, and why we are. And this maybe is where we struggle the most. I think whose we are is the most important, but I think why we are is where we struggle. Why am I here? What's the purpose of this? This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. With whom I'm well pleased. He knew who he was. He knew whose he was. And now he knows why. He knows why. He's the son to convey God's love. Belovedness. Belovedness is beyond anything that we know or understand. Belovedness really does include our identity. Convey God's love. This is His vocation, right? Some of us, we just talked about this in our Sunday morning small group, which, by the way, is at 9:30 for those of you that have never come. Encourage you to do so. But our purpose, some people say, to help people come to know Christ. To care for others, to evangelize, to witness, to whatever it might be. But really, all of that includes one thing, and that is to convey God's love, to convey God's belovedness. That's what we are. Psalm 87, verse 7 says this, "All my fountains are in you." Chris Tomlin wrote a great song that has that verse in it. All my fountains are in you. Everything that God has is in me, and that flows out of me. Everything that flows out of me ought to be because of God, ought to be because of Christ. And boy, isn't that a struggle. Please do not follow me around or put a camera on me all week long, because you're going to go, is that a godly fountain? It probably wasn't. And if I will admit that, we should all be admitting that. I know that not all of my fountains are in him, but I know that the river of life that flows through me is from him, and I need to turn off those other spigots that don't show who he is. And I need to open up more that do show he is. What is your identity? The Father names you. He calls you a daughter or he calls you a son. That's it. That is the identity. You are a child of the one true King, as Scripture says. You are either a daughter or you are a son of God. There's no other name that he gives you. There's no other identity he gives you. Lots of purposes, but no other identities. Vocation. Listen to this definition. To be someone who does something in the world. Isn't that great? Webster's just defining Scripture for us. This is also what it means for a scriptural. It's a purposeful and powerful combination of a deep awareness of our identity, our belovedness, and our purpose. So what is your belovedness? John 4:32. Okay? Here's what Jesus said to us when they told Jesus, you need to eat. you haven't eaten, and we've all had food, and you need to eat, you need to drink, you need to sustain yourself. He says this, he says, I have food that you know nothing about. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. See, he knew. And if we could just tap into the belovedness that's already inside of us, we would also know why we are. By the way, just on a side note, here we are in the 40 days leading up to Easter. It's called Lent. I know that sounds like a really denominational, especially Catholic-type conversation to have. But many of us practice Lent, and we do these things where we give something up in order for Christ to fill that space. That's what fasting does, is to give something up, to move something out of our life for Christ to fill that space when we intentionally do that. And so if you want to talk to me about fasting sometimes, that would be great. Would love to do that. And so our identity, our belovedness, Jesus was fasting. He was talking about he had food that we didn't even know about. And then what is your mission? When we talk about why we are, our mission, listen to this, our mission, write this down. This is so deep. This is going to be one of the greatest things you've ever heard in your life. This is going to change your life. Our mission is to be like Jesus. It's that simple. It's not that easy, but it is that simple. Our mission is to be like Jesus and to show the fruit of who he is in the world. And as we do that, I think that that's when we figure out that we're out in the wild. From the time that we were saved to this life we live in the wild until the time that we understand our salvation and start living it out, we live in the wild. There are temptations, there are testings, there are trials, there are all sorts of things. Okay, and Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit during this time, and we are led by the Holy Spirit during this time. We have a guide to get through the wild, to get through the wilderness, to get through and past the temptations. And when we give in to the temptations, we have the Holy Spirit who leads us back to our forgiveness and our redemption. But if we're going to face down the accuser who's trying to unseat our confidence, if we're going to defeat the one who wants to call you something that you're not, if we're going to get away and get ahead of the one who's here to steal, to kill, and destroy, if we're going to do any of that, you have to know those three answers to who you are, whose you are, and why you are. Because that's how you answer him. That's how you defeat the enemy. That's how you get away from temptation, is when those things start coming, you say, no, I don't have to do that. I don't have to give in to that. I don't have to watch that. I don't have to act that way. I don't have to drink that. I don't have to eat that. I don't have to, because I get to follow the Lord, because that's where the blessings are. And then Luke 4:14, after the wilderness, when he walked out of the wilderness, he says, and Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through all of the surrounding region. See, your mission is to be like Jesus. Your mission is to follow Jesus. Your mission, when we do that, is we're empowered by the Spirit. We're given that power. And it's really just following the way of Jesus. It's really just chasing after Him. We are supposed to be, Scripture calls, you know, when the Christians were being persecuted, they didn't say this in a positive way. They said it in a way to kind of be derogatory, but I think it's fantastic. And I've said it for a couple of months now. See, when they were saying that we need to follow Jesus, I'm saying we need to follow the way of Jesus. How He responded, how He lived, how He sacrificed, how He communed. We're never going to do it that well, we know that, but we should try the way. And the derogatory term was the followers of Jesus were called the people of the way because it was so different. Can't we do that? Can't we just try it? Because when we do, the Holy Spirit leads us. I just love that. And not just leads us. I've been talking about the power of Christ for months now. That's what I want. And if you were here last Sunday, the power of Christ moved mightily during worship. Prayers. I believe there were deliverances from things that had strongholds on people. I believe there were healings that took place. That's the power of the way, to follow Him. Because we're all following some way in life. The world is following a way. Your school, your teachers are going to tell you to follow a certain way. And boy, we just got to say, that's not the way. Your friends are going to say, act this way. No, Jesus tells me to act this way, right? So let's do that. Lord God, as we are in the wilderness, Lord, right now, somebody might be going, this may be a reprieve from the wilderness right now in this very room, in this moment online. Might be sitting in the shade of just your love and your grace and your mercy from a harsh world that's just dehydrating us because of the heat, because of the strong winds that are just blasting us and drying us out. Lord, as we're out in the wilderness, we just need to turn to You. I need to turn to You. Lord, as we go through this week, we need to follow You. Lord, it was Your Holy Spirit that inspired. It was Your Holy Spirit that fed. It was Your Holy Spirit that gave Jesus the words and the answers and the rebuke of the temptations of Satan himself. Lord, let that be for us. And Lord, for the one that came today looking for that relief, by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, You are receiving that relief right now in this very moment. You know the truth. You actually know the way that you need to go in order for that relief to be sustaining in your life. That's a word for somebody. You know the way. It's a choice. Let's choose it wisely. In the name of Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, go with the intentional thought processes, the intentional actions, the intentional repentance, the intentional acceptance of forgiveness, with the intentional understanding of who you are, whose you are, and why you are, to return to that first love. For the Holy Spirit to guide you, not just with love and grace and mercy, but with power to change your life and those around you. And all the people said, amen, amen. Nothing tonight because it's the first Sunday of spring break, and so we'll see y'all next week.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.